Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. I am me, Dr. Vincent Medici. I have a show for you. Check this title out, and then I'll explain it. Why Anthony Bourdain was so loved by so many, and the real cure for IBS, Crohn's, and digestive disease. Now, I don't mean the Anthony Bourdain who recently may have, probably did, who knows, committed suicide. I'm talking about the guy that we all knew and loved. I certainly did. I followed him for years. Maybe you did also. If you don't know who he was a famous chef who made incredible TV documentary sorts of reality shows, traveling throughout the world, finding on the back alleys of even poverty-stricken areas of the world the best foods you could imagine. And he'd sit there with a beer and maybe a cigarette and eat them and explain them. And it was just a great show. All of you who know Bourdain would agree with me. My point is that if you walk into CVS today, you're going to notice there are probably 2 to 3 entire rows of pharmaceutical drugs devoted to helping you digest your food. And it's been that way for a long time. And it's going to continue that way as we get more and more off track. Or perhaps not. If you listen to this show today, you'll get some real insight. Because what I want to do today, amidst all the facets of science that I'm going to add up and expose you to, is whittle it down to one simple moment. Enjoy your food. Yeah, and that's what Anthony Bourdain taught us to do. Enjoy your food. Some people live to eat, and some people eat to live. There are a lot of sick people out there, I've seen many, who eat to live. In other words, they can't digest their foods. They've got all sorts of manifestations or derivatives of that. Remember now, when I say derivatives of not being able to digest your food, derivatives, manifestations, consequences, sequelas, what I'm simply saying is that your 25, 30, 35 feet of small intestine is largely little finger-like projections called intestinal villi, and those villi suck up the food. When they inflame because the food is rotting or because of so many other reasons, I won't get into that, but when they do inflame, these villi give you digestive disturbances. Heartburn, pain, spasms, and if they inflame long term, long enough over the years, you begin to develop holes in between the digestive cells and the epithelial cells of the intestinal villi, and larger compounds sift through into the blood. Then we start talking leaky gut, and depending on where your immune system's at and your nervous system, leaky gut starts to become autoimmune disease. Now we've got this one down. Amazing, for as much as we've understood this, when people saunter on into your local hospital with lupus and scleroderma and rheumatoid arthritis and the rest of the autoimmune diseases, well, it doesn't seem like even what I just said in the last few minutes is understood. But for those health aficionados, those of you who like these shows, you've heard this suggested before. Leaky gut is what's behind autoimmune disease, and what's behind leaky gut is digestive inflammation, and what's behind digestive inflammation is you can't digest your food for a variety of reasons. Okay, I'll expound on that later, especially in the second half of the show, which I'll post in about an hour. But those of you listening today, those of you who are new to this show, Straight Talk, for health, Dr. Vincent Medici speaking. Understand that the reason you're running to your pharmaceutical store every week for a new digestive aid is you can't digest your food. That inflames your gut for reasons I already stated. All right, nothing new there. There are a lot of explanations and slants on this.
Take your digestive enzymes. Your HCL production is very low.
You must have a parasite. Liver gut dysbiosis. The probiotics are off. They're in imbalances. And so on and so forth. But if you watch people really work with this, in other words, if you got this, and it's time for you to go out and work with this, I want you to think of Anthony Bourdain. Because that is what you don't do. A lot of you who have taken proactive steps, say you work with a nutritionist, a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, a holistic MD, a naturopath, those of you who have taken proactive steps to help your IBS and the disease that can manifest, as I've stated earlier, what you really don't know how to do is walk up to a smorgasbord of food, pick out what your body is telling you to eat. Pick out what turns you on. Pick out what you could share with Anthony Bourdain at a table somewhere in South Vietnam in a bad neighborhood. Pick out a tamale, a guacamole, from somewhere down in the hood. Go to Beverly Hills and find the omelet made par excellence. What confuses a lot of people who are proactive about stuff like IBS, Crohn's, digestive disease of all varieties, gastric reflux, etc., what confuses them is that the holistic model, right, the nutritionist you see, the YouTube shows you watch, simply put you more in your head. They put you more in your analytic brain. I mean, that's understandable and inevitable. There you are, incapacitated on so many levels because you can't eat. You're wasting away. I mean, people with digestive disturbances can go all the way to extreme cachexia. Those of you in the audience, you know who you are. You barely function. All the way to people who live with such horrendous bloat with everything they eat. They almost don't want to eat, even though they're starving and hungry. I mean, we all know this is serious stuff. So does CVS and StrideRite. So does Walmart. So do the pharmacists. IBS is at a world high. Yeah, it's the genetically engineered foods, and you can't digest them, and this and that, and the other thing. Hey, I got to tell you something. For the most part, the real issue is you can't enjoy your food. Now, you're going to say, I can't enjoy my food because everything I eat bloats me and hurts, etc. Wrong. I am telling you to wake up here. I'm telling you to get clear on this. Your problems started long before you had digestive disturbances. Your problems started when you stopped enjoying your life. And one of the joys of life is when you sit down to a meal and eat the meal. The smells, the texture, the taste. All these gastric explosions were denied to you long before someone told you you had IBS. And what I'm saying to you today, in a wonderfully simplistic way, is that's what Anthony Bourdain, what he represented, is a guy that wasn't doing that. Now, I don't know what happened and all the rest of it, but forget all that. He was a wonderful, charismatic, down-to-earth guy that I loved and a lot of people loved. Think of him in those contexts. I can't think of a better example of a guy who was enjoying his food. People that enjoy their food don't have IBS. They don't have Crohn's. Yeah, they may have a little digestive acid reflux, heartburn, this kind of thing. That's usually structural, by the way. Those of you who suffer from a lot of your gastric refluxes, most of the time the problems are structural. I've done shows on that. But I'm telling you that your Crohn's, your IBS, ulcerative colitises, all sorts of those kinds of things, all the way to, it starts there, it goes to leaky gut, ends up autoimmune, lupus, scleroderma, rheumatoid arthritis, long before you ever got sick, if I was watching you. And remember, I am watching you. If I was watching you, first grade, second grade, third grade, fifth grade, a year old, 2 years old, in the womb, somewhere along the line, somebody really messed you up. Somebody made you feel like a victim. And you stayed that way. You did. Even when you get proactive, because you know you're going to waste away the rest of your life, deep down inside, you're still the victim. Now, I'm not judging you for that. I'm simply saying somebody hit you so hard somewhere along the line that you can't even enjoy your food. Under horrible autonomic stress, how are you going to enjoy anything? You don't enjoy food. You don't enjoy sex. You don't enjoy gardening. You don't enjoy friends. You don't enjoy anything. You're just trying to get by, and God bless you for persisting. But if we're going to talk about your digestive discord, your IBS, your Crohn's, various types of digestive discord, we got to get down to the basic issue. Kids are supposed to be happy, blissful. Each day is supposed to be a new exciting moment. Each moment is supposed to be a new exciting moment. And how many kids are denied that? Okay, we talk about kids crossing the border and that whole thing that's going on this week. Not getting political here, okay? I've got strong political feelings, but not appropriate for my show. So just think of them and what you hear in terms of some of the horrors they endure. That's the end of their digestive system. That's what I'm talking about. Now, 10 years later, 20 years later, they're working in the corporate world. They're doing whatever they're doing. They can't digest a thing. They got IBS, Crohn's, bad reflux, autoimmune disease. What? You don't think it goes back to that moment? Or moments like that? Or moments long before they tried to cross the border? Of course it does. I'm telling you, look there. But I'm also giving you a way out. There's a way out. And that's what Anthony Bourdain was trying to tell us. Kick back. Have a bottle of beer. A glass of wine. Go to a beautiful place. It doesn't necessarily take money. It takes aptitude. And find foods that you enjoy. That is what he was trying to say. I'm telling you, after 20 years of dealing with all of this stuff, I wish I could be in 100,000 places at once. How many people come in with these sorts of problems? IBS, Crohn's, digestive disease, leaky gut, autoimmune disease, and their guts, their intestinal villi, the trillions that are down there amidst that 30 feet of small intestine have holes in them. How many people are like that? And it's not about a recipe. It's not about a book. Oh, go paleo. Oh, become a vegan. Oh, go macrobiotic. Oh, eat everything in sight. Oh, go down to the Hippocrates Institute. Do a weekend at Optimal Health Institute. I watch you people do all these things. And I'm telling you, most of the time you go very slowly. 5 years later, you're a little better, but you're still spinning. Why? Why do I say I wish I could be there with you? Because you don't have any joy in your process. You're eating through your head, your enlightened head, your more than less knowledgeable head. You're happy in a sense that you made inquiry. You're trying something new. All this is good. But what you fail to do consistently is identify the joy in your food selection. I don't see you enjoy your food. Now, how do I know this? 20 years of working with you guys. You walk in and I go, what foods do you just love? I mean, there's the question. What food do you just sit down with and it's like an orgasm in your body, your brain? You can't answer me. You can't. If you fit these descriptions, I am asking you one question right now. One absolutely critical question. One single solitary question to cut to the chase and make life simple. What food can you eat that you just love, that loves you? I don't mean what food you love in your head. I mean what food you love in your being. I'll give you an example. I love eggs sunny side up. Every Saturday before the show, I do 2 eggs sunny side up with a little salt on it. I roll it up like a crepe and drop it right down and in. It's gone in 3 minutes. That food is gone. I can't do it scrambled hard. I wouldn't do an omelet. I can't stand hard-boiled eggs. I don't even do well with poached eggs. I don't like raw eggs. I'm about as finicky as the most finicky cat. I eat like a pregnant woman chooses her foods. I truly do. Always have, whether I'm stuffing myself or fasting. It doesn't matter. I am an extremely selective eater. I've been that way since I was born. And God help you if you tried to take that away from me, ever. Now, I'm asking you, Mr. IBS, Mr. Crohn's, Mr. Ulcerative Colitis, Miss Leaky Gut, Miss Autoimmune Disease, I'm asking you, what did you eat for breakfast? And can you say what I can tell you about 2 farm-fresh, fertile eggs that got fried with a little butter in a skillet, rolled up with sea salt on it, and dropped in? They exploded in my stomach. They exploded in my stomach. Exploded wonderfully, delightfully. Like when you stick your nose into a rose that's just opening, and the smell just goes up into your brain and through your body. That's the way I eat my eggs. That is not the way you eat your food. Now, I wouldn't say that about a chicken taco. I wouldn't say it about a tamale. I wouldn't say it about Chinese food, usually drenched in MSG. I might say it about a carpaccio. I might say it about a tartare. I might say it about a slice of New York pizza at Joe's on Bleecker and Carmine. I might say it about Stromboli's. I might say it about Mimi's. There was a place in Pacific Palisades years ago on Strathmore, this French joint. The only place I ever met anybody that could do an omelet. I might say that about the pasta at Romari's in South Laguna. I might say it about a number of places, and it doesn't matter what the food is. All I can tell you is it goes in, it drops down, it digests, and it feels like God. That is what you're not doing. That's what you've been shut off to. That's what has to change. And the perspective I want to give you is no matter what you're doing, you know what cracks me up is I didn't even get to my show today. You're going to have to catch the show, the second half. I'm going to get into the science. This is the appetizer. We're going to get into the enteric nervous system. We're going to get into GAPS. We're going to get into more of Bourdain. We're going to get into the probiotics and your moods. The best probiotics for mood enhancing. and how that's short-sighted and myopic. We're trying to control your mood and your enteric nervous system through the good bacteria of your gut. All great stuff, but it's still going to come down to what I decided to do the first half hour on today, and that is you can't enjoy your food. The minute you get proactive, you're so into your head, you enjoy your food less. I've watched a lot of leaky gut people, a lot of people with the so-called chronic parasitic infection with the leaky gut, and they all weigh about 80 pounds, and they can't eat anything, and they've got all sorts of rashes all over their skin all the time. Does this describe you? Or are you just the mild IBS guy who's writhing in pain 3 out of every 7 days trying to figure out what you ate that did it? Under the care of 6 different doctors, including surgeons who eventually are going to cut pieces of your intestine out. And because your pain goes away then, you're going to feel like, wow, that's the cause of it. I guess I had just that rotted piece of my small intestine that needed to come out, and until then, I'd have leaky gut. Now, I don't have IBS or leaky gut because I have 8 to 10 less inches of my small intestine. Thank God for surgery. Oh, my God. Someday I'll be turning over in my grave. My point to you amidst all the good natural science, not the nonsense, but the natural science that we'll get into later, is the fact that no one's there with you to help you enjoy your food. You know how many times I've taken clients who have these sorts of syndromes out for a meal? I used to do that in the old days pretty regularly, back in the trenches. Those were the experimental days. That's what you do. You're a field researcher. That's what a doctor should be. Out there in the field, living your life, seeing what you do. Even how you go to the bathroom is a big deal. Oral, anal, Oedipal stages. With trauma, you get it all wrong. You can't do anything. There's no pleasure in anything. There's no pleasure in going to the bathroom to defecate. There's no pleasure putting on your clothes. If you watch these people, it's not that they're sick. They were sick before they got sick. That's what nobody tells you. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. I manage people's health portfolios. That's what I do. Certainly not what they tell me or told me in my educations, which are numerous and outstanding. Chiropractic school, acupuncture school, tons of clinical experience, working at a snail's pace towards graduate level chemistry. A snail's pace, you say, why? I say, lots of sick people out there. Lots of sick people. And my point to you, more than anything, as it relates to this topic, these topics, is that the real cure for IBS, for Crohn's, is to have a health coach. Not me. It's not my bag. But there are health coaches out there. Chefs. A chef health coach that sits there and delivers food in diverse ways such that you can share experience. And of course, not everyone can afford a health coach or a chef. And of course, what my point, like Bourdain's point, is you're your own health coach. You get onto that bandwagon. Pick a food. If a fried egg tastes like heaven, every food should taste like a fried egg. If you have one food, one single solitary food that you know how to prepare that tastes fantastic, that disappears in your stomach, that doesn't cause you gas or bloating or pain or anything, every food, as you branch out in God's diversity, has to give you that experience. And if you have to study different food systems, and if you have to go to food courses, and if you have to read more books, if you have to look at more YouTubes, then do that. Trial and error. And make a list. These are the foods that blow my mind. These are the foods that I could share with Anthony on his show. These are the foods that I could sit down with and talk about endlessly because they taste so good to me. That is the exercise of love that you're not doing. You're just eating it because your nutritionist said to eat it. So I take the meat because I'm into paleo and I put it in the pan with a little water or coconut oil. Gross! Gross! You people in your head, you're eating slop. I can't believe the things I hear. You're trying so desperately that you're forgetting the fundamental of it. It's got to taste good. How's it taste? Well, I don't know how it tastes, but I don't break out in a rash. It doesn't make me sick. No, man, I'm asking you, does it blow your mind? Start with the food that blows your mind. They're there. I always go through this with people, and sooner or later, they'll say, oh, avocado, you know, I love that. I'll go, wait a second, stop there. You just said it. You said you used the word love. And this is my point. It's in you. It's there. You know how to find a food you love. It's still in there. You got to identify it. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, teaching you how to identify the piece of you that's filled with love. And that's the cure for IBS. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. That's my office number. Give us a call. Come on in, see me, sit down, and get on the right track. 1 hour from now, get on the website for the scientific part of this show. God bless you. Happy 4th. Dynamite, part 2. Here we go. Did you like part 1? I loved part 1. Very simple stuff. But now watch people go and work with it. That's a whole other issue. People nod their head. Then when you watch them work with the concept, you see that, well, they're miles away. I don't know what we're going to do, gang. People need a lot of one-on-one. They need a year at the Institute. A year at the ashram. Or maybe just 3 months. Or maybe a lifetime. To teach people to love the food experience is where all the cure is. We don't have a model for that. That's the problem. Without the model, we write books. There's some good insight. We do YouTube clips. There's some good insight. We do this, there's some good insight. We find out a lot of new stuff. And we celebrate it, and we should, because new stuff is good stuff. But it doesn't cut it. It doesn't cut it, because then it's got to go into a workable model. And we have a society that's working against a workable model. Give it to me fast, give it to me quick, give it to me so I can comprehend it, make it sound simple, put a bunch of people who have my concern around me, we can all look at each other and feel cool, and clap. Then we go home to our one-room hut, a one-room hut. I don't care if it's a mansion, it's still a hut. And we live in isolation. And turn on CNN or Fox. You see, we don't have a society to really give us the foundation for the right lifestyle. That's what you have to be aware of. We're not going to solve it if we're not aware of where we're missing, and that's why I talk this way. Because I'm in the trenches just like you. I'm where you are, only I'm way more skilled, way more. I live a different existence. My capacities at these things are really, really, really advanced. They are. And I profit from them every day. Well, this is my shtick. Maybe computer programming is your shtick. Maybe you're an auto mechanic. You can strip it down and rebuild it. Gave my car this week to the auto body guy. Man, he's a pro. He's going to paint the car for $2,500. This dude knows his stuff. He isn't cheap. He shouldn't be cheap. He knows his stuff. This is my stuff. That's why you should be listening very deeply. You're going to try with food classes, I know. You're going to go to food classes. Talking to this vegan person the other day, you know she's got these food classes. Books it out nicely. $450 a class. $900 for the weekend. Gets a lot of people who can afford that kind of dough. She's going to go through veganism and the joy of veganism and this and that and the other thing. She doesn't know beans about the things we're discussing here today. And what's going to happen is people are going to learn new recipes that's going to be at least a lot better for some than going to McDonald's or Ralph's or Albertsons or Lucky's or Vons or fast food garbage. Fast food. Ugh. Food in restaurants. Be careful with restaurant food. Just pig slop. So it's better if you go to cooking classes to learn how to work with food. But you see, the problem is, and this was the point in my show, is if I watch you then make the food, the one thing you're not going to do is identify that moment where you go, ah, I love this. Because you don't think that way. You don't. You're thinking more in terms of, I hope it doesn't hurt me. I hope I don't get gas. I hope it doesn't bloat. You're in a defensive, protective position. You're not feeding the piece of you that'll guide you to a relationship with food that brings pleasure. And that's the art. Let's talk about this on other levels. Look at picture number one. You're on the website, straighttalk.cc, obviously. The brain in your gut. There are the nerves. Look at picture one. There are the nerves. Those nerves are wired in to your intestinal villi. Go down now to picture number 25. There. Villi. Trillions of them. Okay. Now go back up to picture one. Those nerves go to your brain. They go from the gut to the brain, from the brain to the gut. You know the expression, my nerves are fried? I want you to go back in time to when you were little as you can remember. Even the womb. Starting in the womb. Gestation, right, before you popped out. Do you have memories of not wanting to come out? Were you born with a cord? The umbilical cord around your neck? Did your head get caught on the pubic bone? Was your mother in labor for 10, 12, 14, 20, 30 hours? Were you born premature and you were in the incubation bay? After you popped out, did your parents look at you and get sad? While you were in there gestating, did your mother really wish she wasn't pregnant? Did she wish she was pregnant? But did she wish she wasn't with your father, who never wanted you, or wanted you but didn't want the marriage and couldn't help it except to give your mother, your pregnant mom, pregnant with you, a good smack across the face once or twice a day? Is that the case? Was everything hotsy-totsy? Mom met dad. They fell in love. Love at first sight. Everything worked out good. Your dad had a great job. Your mom didn't have to work. Everything was just peachy keen hunky-dory. You came out. You got the best of both your parents. You weren't colicky. You slept well. You were just the apple of mom and dad's eye. And then your dad never came home one afternoon. He was killed in an automobile accident. Or your mom was killed. Or someone got sick. Or your parents divorced. Or your mom had a kid every year, and then by the time 4 years passed, four kids came, your mom was losing her mind. Somewhere along the line, your party got pooped on. Time to poop on your party. Everybody's been through this. Most people. I've certainly been through it. Mine started at about 5 or 6 years old. I did pretty well. I was fortunate. But then it got nasty. Really nasty. Last time I looked, it was still nasty. But I'm ready for it. I take it on. That's my karma, or my destiny. People say, Medici, what a wonderful show. The show's changed my life. I love the show. I tell my friends about the show. When you do a show like this, you don't think that way. You're so out on the edge that you don't even know where you are. That's the best of an artist. When he's so on the edge, he doesn't know where he is. You got to mature to that point in your life. Or you'll drown by it. But somewhere along the line, something collapsed you. And we say the connection between the brain and the gut got all shut down. That means instead of your villi being little multiple orgasms. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it. But it just occurred to me that these villi, they kind of look like clitorises. And I'm not being risque or disrespectful, so don't anybody start. But with a little imagination, they look like clitoris, like erect clitorises. That's what they are. They're all looking to orgasm. So respectfully stated, all these little clitorises are looking to get off. And you can't separate that from the brain. Now, the hookup, of course, are the neurotransmitters, GABA. Serotonin, dopamine, the whole slew of these cats. But especially the GABA one. Gamma aminobutyric acid, the infamous GABA, balanced by glutamate, down in the gut, up in the brain. That's your food orgasm, but you've got to have continuity. Very delicate relationships, reciprocities between the gut and the brain. And just like I talked about a few minutes ago, people's get all screwed up. So what is food then? See, so let me cut to the chase here. When you look at gut and psychology syndrome, Natasha Campbell, thumbs up or you see? When you look at paleo, thumbs up or when you look at any of these things, you know, you got this Brian Clement. I love Brian Clement. Hippocrates Institute. Hardcore guy. But you know, the thing about this guy is he talks about this food like it stinks. I don't like that. He talks about this and that and the science and this, and he's correct. He's a very charismatic guy. I like him a lot. But when you listen to him talk about the food that he eats, he's got this thing. It's an edge to him. Maybe I'm wrong, so pardon me if I am, but I don't think I am. It's like, On one hand, he's got all the knowledge and he's got all the respect for the process, but he doesn't really enjoy it. I don't hear him talk with that level of "I love this stuff." It's more like "I love this stuff because it's healthy and Burger King isn't." I got a feeling this guy's dreaming about pizza a lot. And that's the problem. Now, I look at some of these chefs. Sally Fallon, now, she likes food. You know that woman likes food. You can just tell. And that's good. You want your way out of IBS and Crohn's and the rest of it? You got to get into food like Sally Fallon gets into food. When she talks about food, it's like Anthony Bourdain. Only to me, Bourdain was the best. By far the best. I mean, he could eat rat brains and you'd be drooling over it. Because the context that he brought to the experience was all set for pleasure. I mean, this guy, it's what we mean by gourmand. I get my fish from Trader Joe's. Comes in the packet. And I take it out and I know it's wild caught. And I put it in the pan with a little water. Ugh! I listen to people describe how they eat their food. It's gross. And yes, I don't care if you're living in your trailer. You have the time to get on YouTube. You have the money to go to a cooking class. I don't care if it's at the YMCA. Get into your food. It is where your cure is. It's what you're not doing. What have the Chinese and Thai done? I mean, it's disgusting. Chinese restaurants, they're neurotoxin dumps. MSG shitholes. Thai restaurants, they're worse. Yeah, I know, Jack. You don't use any MSG, right? No, you didn't say that. You said you don't add any MSG. No, we don't add any MSG. What about the MSG in all the sauces? Well, yeah, but we don't add that. It's already in there. You see, I want to punch you right in your head. There used to be this Chinese place in Santa Monica. Very nice woman and her two parents. They cooked from scratch. They were right below the Radio Shack. Those of you out there in Santa Monica land, just below the Radio Shack on, Santa Monica or Broadway and 4th, something like that. Just below the Radio Shack. There was this Chinese restaurant. They sold it, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago. Oh, my God. Chinese food, real clean Chinese food is, it's beyond joy. You wouldn't find a drop of any neurotoxin in that food. There are some Thai places like that. 99.9% are sellouts. And the Italian places are so carb heavy. And carbs are tougher to digest. But of course, that's part of the great debate. And again, I'm looking for pleasure in a plate of pasta. Start in Italy sometime. Start in Italy with that plate of pasta. And then come back and tell me pasta's bad. No, you won't, because the pasta's good. But if you're sitting down to a plate of pasta at Romare's in Laguna, or Mama D's, or places that are much better than that, take a shot at Mastro's in Beverly Hills. Whatever you're doing with carbs is subject to your experience with them. That's why we have so much confusion. Because in the end, we're going to find to each their own. To each their own in the moment. You are not the same person from second to second to second to second. And all you can do is put your finger on the reasons you're not the same person from second to second to second to second. And that's why there's no cookbook formulas. That's why no one can say, oh, the GAPS diet, the paleo diet, the Ann Wigmore diet, the macrobiotic diet. Are Republicans the way or Democrats within the Republican faction? Are rhinos the way or are there true conservatives the way? Do we need socialists or just democratic liberals? Should we be run by communists? Everyone's got a point, right? We wouldn't have debate if everyone didn't have a point. But what does that really mean tomorrow? It means the minute you make a statement, it becomes totalitarian. You can't be a Democrat unless you hate Republicans, and you can't be a Republican unless you hate Democrats, and you can't be a socialist unless you hate conservatives, and this and that and the other thing. And it's just human nature to make that mistake. What you see in politics, you see with food. So in the summation of it all, then, your bodily senses have to be cultivated over time to the point where they can discern pleasure, endorphin response via enteric pathways, GABA to GABA from, the whole slew of these love chemicals that we make when we eat. And that's why I said to you, Anthony Bourdain, sometimes I'll want to go to a restaurant. And I'll be cruising along, trying to figure out which one I want to go to. And I love that. It's fun. It's fun. And I'll be in the car with somebody who it's not fun for. They need to go, where am I going? They will say, where are you going? If I don't know where I'm going, I get nervous. Now, there I am driving this big luxury car, just cruising along with the music on. Down here in beautiful, sunny Orange County, up in the mountains, down in the valleys, at the ocean. And the person I'm with is so neurotic, so anxiety-ridden, so screwed up, so ass-backwards, that unless they know where I'm going, they can't relax. And if I say, I don't know where I'm going, they go, well, just tell me you're going somewhere because I can't relax if I don't know where I'm going. It's just the way I am. How's that person going to sit down and enjoy their food? How? And that's my point. The culinary experience is to be savored. Some people eat to live. Some people live to eat. I'll bet you this, there are a lot more people who live to eat that have healthier digestive tubes than there are people who eat to live. I'm telling you, I have watched this for years. Why? The enteric nervous system, I just showed it to you. It's delivered through the vagus nerve, which is the parasympathetic nerves, which have to be in balance. Oh my God, we're back to that subject again? Yes, we're back to that subject again. And that's the issue for you. The issue for you, if you have these diseases over days, weeks, months, is not are you bloating more or bloating less? It's not, in your estimation, are you digesting more or less? It's what are the things you're doing that are giving you a return on a more balanced nervous system. If you're sleeping a little better, you're curing your IBS. If the foot massage and the neck pull feel better, you're doing more for your IBS than anything. If you're going to the bathroom a little more often, you're doing for your IBS. Don't look at your worst symptoms. People start with the worst symptom. They start with the pain in their gut. I got IBS, and when I eat food, my body itches. I got IBS, and when I eat food, my intestines twist, and I have physical pain. I got IBS, Crohn's. I got ulcerative colitis. When I eat food, I bleed through the rectum. I got IBS. I got all sorts of blood tests that can prove it. I got IBS and yada, yada, yada. People go to the worst. Don't go to the worst symptom and measure efficacy over time in relationship to that symptom. Clear your head, guys, of all the crap out there and do what I'm telling you to do. And don't do what I'm telling you don't do. Don't measure efficacy against the worst of your symptoms. Do not do that. Take what your body gives you. If it gives you a clearer head, if it gives you a little more sleep, if it gives you a better bowel movement, if it gives you a little more energy, if it improves your memory a little bit, take that. Without that, the story sounds like this. It goes like this, if you're not listening. Hey, Joe, how you doing with the new food changes? Not good. I'm still finding blood in my stool. Are you sleeping better? Yeah, but I'm still finding blood in my stool. Are you thinking better? Yeah, but I'm still finding blood in my stool. Do you have more energy than ever? Yeah, but I'm still finding blood in my stool. Are your muscles starting to grow? Yeah, but I'm still having blood in my stool. Are you finding diversity or less bloating with more foods? Yeah, but I'm still having blood with my stool. You see what Joe is doing? Joe is fixated on the worst of his symptoms. And as long as you're fixated on the worst of your symptoms, you're not seeing or respecting what your body's giving you. And if you're not seeing and respecting what your body's giving to you, you're not going to make that grow to the point where it can build enough reserve capital to start to mitigate the symptom you are focused on. You have to win without winning. You have to not care if you're going to die. The only way you can enhance and refine your sensitivity to your process. What process? The process through which you grow pleasure in your relationship to what you put in your mouth. The only way you can grow pleasure is not to care if you make a mistake. Well, I'm not sure if I should risk this with the avocado because in 1952 I had an avocado and it took me to the ER room. That's what I'm talking about. Don't be like that. I want to use foul language right now, but I can't. Don't be like that. Don't be a schmuck. Don't be a scared little schmuck. Sometimes you got to take a punch to give too. Healing hurts. Healing hurts. But if you take a punch to give too, you win. If to give a punch you take three, you lose. It's cost benefit. You know, I'm listening to this show and I don't know what to do. I wanted to know what to eat. If you're asking yourself this question, just hang up the phone. Listen to what I'm saying and take it into yourself. Short of that, go find a health coach that's also a master of culinary and have them move in with you for 6 months and sit there and feed you. Or do it one meal a day. Or do it one meal a week. Work in a community of people who are into enjoying special foods. This really works. You can watch people do this. They do it slowly. They do it poorly. But over the years, you know, they'll run with pleasure to that one place that they know they can get that one food that no one else can get. You know, cream from the Amish. The Amish really know how to make cream. They are dairy farmers like we don't have in America. Organic pastures, Claravel, forget it. Not even close. The 16-wheeler that goes east and comes back each week in the hidden underground of secret food. But if you can get your hands on that kind of cream, see, that's what Bourdain was doing. He was connected to everything, everywhere. There's always that chef in New York. We had this guy, Boulay. He's still around. And he had his farm up in Connecticut. And he'd grow his farm. And, you know, at that time in the season, you know, he'd make like 30 salads with tomatoes that he grew. And everyone would pay, you know, $500 a salad to eat his food. And as much as he could, he'd do that. I had a guy once with a bladder infection years ago from northern France, the Basque. And he talked about this special lamb that he would eat from where he came. But, of course, he couldn't get it here in California. And he talked about how this lamb you could only get at a certain time each year. Because as the glaciers receded, as the ice receded at the top of the mountains, the grass underneath it was like this golden color. And if the lamb were taken up higher, because that's where the ice was, to eat that grass in the spring when it receded, it would confer, bestow, it would grace the lamb with a special taste in its meat. And I remember this guy describing it to me. I mean, I wanted to hop a jet and go. And that's what we're missing. So you can talk about the enteric nervous system. And we do. And I think it's great. So Natasha Campbell does her book called The GAPS Diet. This came out about 10, 15 years ago, Gut and Psychology Syndrome. And, you know, it wasn't ahead of itself, but it's what MDs do. They attach their name to something that's been around for 15,000 years, and then it acts like it's new. And she pushed bone marrow soup, although Agenis was pushing it years before her. And I'm not criticizing her. I'm really not. I'm just pointing out, like, this guy Gundry, big deal. This is just marketing. But her point was, soup it up. Why soup? If you're suffering from bad IBS Crohn's, you got to watch the fiber in the vegetable, so get rid of it in a soup. If you're going to throw a little meat in, it's raw, but it's warmed. Chinese say, warm the cold meat. Of course. Chinese don't eat cold, raw meat. You know, I'd watch people years ago get into the Agenis thing. And I'd watch them take to it. But, I mean, people who were sick, deathly sick. And, yeah, they got help. But, you see, they do things with food that were disgusting. They just walk up to that piece of steak, took it right out of the refrigerator, chopped it into chunks and just ate it like a caveman. Gross! And then the Agenis cookbook, his recipe book. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Yeah, you're not sick enough to appreciate that kind of food. No, wrong. You're not healthy enough to understand that no matter how sick you are, your food should be able to be served on 5-star restaurants anywhere in the world. Let me flip that one on you, my friend. You guys with IBS, Crohn's, the whole slew of what I've already said too many times. The food you put into your stomach should qualify for the tablecloths of any five-star restaurant in the world. When you're thinking that way, now you're thinking. But that's about self-love. And that's what the baby didn't get. Enough love. And that's the end of the enteric nervous system. So you don't get the signals. You can't read your signals. Oh, we're going to forget about this and just go in there and cite the fact that you're not producing enough GABA. So we got to do expensive IV drip therapies. Chuck those into the blood. Get the GABA up. Do you feel better? Yes, I feel better. Good. It'll be another $10,000 this week for my IV concoctions. We are out of our mind. We're doing this. I'm watching it everywhere. It is a crock. Yeah, okay. At best, IV therapies, the amino acid drips, all the stuff the naturopaths now are making a fortune at IVing because the MDs don't believe in it. You know, you got to have your vitamin C, and studies show, and the B vitamins in the veins, studies show, and glutathione, and this and that, and then there's the GABA, and then there's the amino acid drips, and this and that. Then we have to inject this and that, the other thing. It is a crock. It's a crock. You will not heal that way. What you will do sometimes is go from home plate to first base, rarely to second base. Why? Because it's better than nothing. But against the cost and the limitations, it's a crock. So the context in which I call IV therapy, trying to address enteric imbalances through the neurotransmitter systems or otherwise, the context in which I cite these as a crock is cited because you don't cure. You have to build a foundation and you have to shift consciousness to cure. Because no matter which way you cut it, those of you who have been ill longer than a few weeks, no matter which way you cut it, it's going to whittle on down to your nervous system. No, I'm not talking about the one that resolves itself with a chiropractic adjustment. I'm talking about the way you meet your world. The deepest levels of your consciousness have to shift. And health is just an exercise shifting consciousness. There you go. Food is an exercise in shifting consciousness. Stretching your body. Loving your partner. Taking a drive. Selecting food is an exercise in shifting your consciousness. And the dividend it confers to you is more and more endorphin. And once you can connect to that, you can grow it. Something in you will operate at a higher level of discernment. You want to know where the cure is? I'm giving it to you right now. Look at Bourdain there, picture 11. You can see he's got some nutso in him. He knew how to fly. Really missed that guy. A lot to learn from him. There he is, picture 12. Sucking down, who knows, rat brains at some Vietnamese place in Saigon. And he could do that. He knew how to enjoy himself. And that's what he gave everybody. That special pleasure from enjoying your process. Now, the New Deal, what you're hearing more and more is that the bacteria in the gut, go to picture 21, they make the neurotransmitters. Bacillus makes dopamine and norepinephrine. Bifido makes gamma. Enterococcus makes serotonin. E. coli makes serotonin. Remember Agenis? God bless him. We lost him. We lost Agenis. Who the hell knows what happened to him? He was always getting into trouble. He was convinced they were following him. Maybe. Half these people are nuts. When they pop out, they're half gone. But who's to say? You got to miss anybody. Gonzalez, Agnes, Bourdain. But right now, everybody's in love with E. coli because it makes serotonin. Agnes used to talk about the raw meat. Rot the meat. Eat the feces. I remember working with someone years ago, dying of cancer. And just trapped, this woman, dying of bad cancer, too young to die. And I took her to Agnes, and, you know, he was like, you got to get buffalo feces. So I contacted this person, Secret Agent 94. I said, hi, I'm Dr. Da-da-da. I'm looking to procure the buffalo feces. And basically, this woman talked to me like I was moving a kilo a smack or something. The buffalo feces. Is this line secure? It'll be delivered next week. At exactly 4:01 p.m., be at this address. $100, please. I mean, it was laughable. But there was a tradition. It's in, what's the book on digestive enzymes? I can't remember the name of it. Where the pygmies are caught eating a dead elephant. The elephant has been dead 3 days. And these pygmies, you know, a pygmy, 4'1", and he dunks a basketball. Healthy guys, by the way, right? Hit you with a poison dart at like 500 feet, right on your earlobe, take you to town. Pygmies, sophisticated people, incredible hunters, complete alignment with God. There's this book, Ed Howe, Howe on Digestive Enzymes. Howe, the medical doctor, famous book, tells the story. These pygmies are eating an elephant, 3 days old. So, I mean, it's putrid, maggots, the whole thing. I mean, those National Geographic documentaries, you know, somehow they always leave out that everything you're eating or touching is just loaded with fly larvae and fly turd and the rest of it. Somehow everyone's smiling and they don't mind it. Go there and then talk to me. But these pygmies are eating this, and the photographer from National Geographic comes along with the pygmies. And the photographer says to the pygmy, that food smells like shit. How can you do that? And the pygmy looks at the photographer and says something to the effect of, stupid, I'm not eating the smell. I'm eating the food. Great story. What is high meat? What is feces? It's E. coli. E. coli. You're giving yourself an E. coli bath. Agnes used to say, eat the high meat, the rotten, maggot-ridden meat. Take it, cut it up, put it in a jar, air the jar out every day for a few minutes, and I couldn't do it. I tried the buffalo feces. I could get away with that. It tasted like grass. But the high meat, I could never do it. But he swore by it. There it is. E. coli makes serotonin. Lactobacillus makes GABA. Streptococcus makes serotonin. Yeah. Interesting. So I know this horde of PhDs. They don't have a job. Yeah, they do. They have a job making what their brother makes at the shoe store. Only they put in 12 years of school, extra school. It's pathetic what we pay our scientists. I don't know. I'm a free market guy. I love the free market. So if you're a scientist with a PhD, tough luck. Use your brains. Get entrepreneurial. Start a spinoff company. Figure out how to put it out there. It's still America. The scientists out there are investigating all this stuff. And they're finding in the gut, the probiotics in the gut. Make everything. Take care of everything. They control your mood. If you haven't been breastfed, maybe you're going to be a miserable bastard your whole life. If mommy pulled the tit away prematurely, you're going to be angry your whole life. I mean, this is sort of the mindset. Your mood is controlled by the gut flora. Yeah. Natasha Trenov just loves that. Got to put those probiotics in, and don't forget the prebiotics. Okay. Why am I acting like this? Other than that, it's my nature. Because what you're going to do is pot shot. You're going to pot shot. You're going to basically say, oh, yeah, studies show. Well, I'm going to bring the probiotics in. Which ones should I take? When should I take them? And again, you're going to miss the point. The point is that you'll cure. Using this wonderful piece of information, you're going to cure inviting Bacillus bifido, Enterococcus, E. coli, Lactobacillus, Streptococcus, and everything we don't know into your life in greater quantities. You're going to cure doing that if you can extract from it a grain of pleasure. If you can extract from it a grain of pleasure, the focus, the energy, the place you have to put your resources is far less on the act of the probiot or the prebiot and much more on the act of extracting a grain of pleasure. I'm going to ask you, you did it great. How does it make you feel? I don't know. How did the coffee enema make you feel? I didn't feel anything. How did a week with Anthony Bourdain in South Vietnam eating traditional Vietnamese foods, the best that Vietnam has to offer, make you feel? It was good. How did that foot massage go? Well, you got your nails manicured. It was good. It didn't feel good. Was it supposed to? You want to help people. Doctors that want to help people. You know what help for people is? Help is spending enough time with them and watching them in the natural course of their day in a moment where, unknown to them, they're having pleasure. And you, the doctor, the health therapist, observe it. You see that golden moment. And you take your fist and you crack them over the head and go, look, you just said you love that. Look, you just put that egg in your mouth and said you love. You know what? You just smelled the cheese on the pizza and said you love that. You just watched a Johnny Carson show and said you love Johnny Carson. You just watched Buddy Hackett tell a story. You just watched Don Rickles cut up the entire Hollywood crowd and you said you loved that. I want the food you eat to feel like Don Rickles when he imitates Clint Eastwood. You guys getting my point? If you say yes, I expect you to live it. I know a lot of sick people. I move a lot of people through this office. Don't be nodding your head and not be living what I'm talking about. The direction of forward flow has to be more about what I'm talking than figuring out on a multiple choice test, does Bacillus increase GABA or serotonin? Does Enterococcus increase GABA or dopamine? Does Streptococcus increase dopamine or serotonin? Bean counters. You got to kill the part of you that's counting beans. It's not about the grade on your exam. It's about how you feel in that celebratory sense about your knowledge. is the knowledge shifting, the joy of the change in your consciousness. Does the knowledge bring about a joyful shift of consciousness? Are you thriving? That's how people heal. You know, you doctors that listen, really, well, we study so much, so hard, blah, 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 blah. Right? You know what doctors do? Doctors bust their ass, get out into the field. All of them. Doesn't matter. Medical doctors to physical therapists to acupuncturists to chiropractors. They put the time in, and 3-4 years into their practice, most of them find they're not making any money. And they can't understand it because the time they spent in school, they were the best. They were told what you do is you go to school, you study hard, you get good grades, you get a diploma, and now you've been equipped with the great gift of being able to help the sick. And you help them and they go, wow, thank you for helping me. And then they run away back to their neighborhoods, wherever they flew in from or drove in from, and they tell their friends and their friends come and you help them. And if you're a good doctor, you help enough people so that you look at your waiting list and you're booked out for weeks and months and years and centuries. And then you can charge more money and blah, 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 blah. It is all a crock of shit. It's a complete crock of shit. It's why we have so many lousy doctors. It's why we have so many sick patients. The problem with health, in part, is the problem that begins in the educational systems in these schools that give you, the student, a delusional view of what it is to be effective. And so what I offer you, doctors, therapists, etc., as well as clients, is the people that heal, if you watch them evolve, are really, most fundamentally, just using all the indices of a healing. Herbs and stretches and different recipes for foods and detoxifications and the rest of it. Specialized therapies, oxygen therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, all sorts of gizmos, diagnostic and therapeutic gizmos. All they're doing is using these as exercises to shift consciousness. And the direction of the shift must, if it's going to do anything, avail them to a greater shift in consciousness. Meaning more pleasure per investment of their energy. That's where the healing is. But that client is always looking at their symptom. They measure efficacy from the improvement of the symptom. It's not about improving the symptom. You cannot reference a cure to the symptom. You reference therapy and the direction of cure to the increase of pleasure in the process. So, yeah. Yeah, you've got autoimmune disease. You have inflammatory bowel disease. You are not happy with your life. Well, what's the exercise then? Fall in love with food, Anthony Bourdain. If you're going to bring probiotics in, if you're going to play with the gut, and you're going to shift the ecosystem, you're experimenting to refine your sensibility to pleasure. What does that mean? I did it, and my question to you is, in what way does it make you feel a little better? How about massage? How about all the people with IBS and Crohn's? You lie them on a table, you twist them to the side, you press into their gut. There's no pleasure. Suppose they have pleasure in the scalp, or pleasure in the hand, or pleasure in the foot. The question is, are they embracing a perspective that beseeches them to understand that the pleasure they feel in their hand is the pleasure they need to feel when somebody presses into their gut? But what's the general prevalent attitude? Don't press my stomach. It hurts there. They press into my gut. It hurts. Don't press where it hurts. Press where it feels good. And that's the end of it. They can feel pleasure in the hands of the feet. But the notion, the education, prodding them with the required shift in consciousness to understand that sooner or later what you feel in your hands and your feet and your scalp, you need to feel in your gut. Are you bloating less? Yeah, but I still feel pain. No, are you bloating less? Are you starting to crave certain foods? The moment in which your average digestive case can tell you that they're starting to crave is the moment in which they're starting to heal. Now, there's, in summation, another way of saying what I'm trying to say. Cravings. So if you're hanging out with Anthony Bourdain and you're watching a guy that knows how to enjoy himself, at some point you're going to realize that what Anthony's doing is following his cravings. What do I feel like tonight? Yeah, it's been a crazy busy day. Now, let me go into my bank here, my memory bank. Let me go into my sensorium and weave my way to the food my body wants tonight. Now, that's a tour de force. That's a journey. That's an evolution. That's what makes the neurotransmitters. That is mastery of the enteric nervous system. When you drop a food into your gut, that food is subject to bile. Do you have any bile there? It's subject to hydrochloric acid. Is there any HCl? It's subject to pancreatic enzyme. It's subject to the pH of the intestinal tract. It's subject to the parasite levels. It's subject to the probiotic balance. But all of it's under control of the enteric nervous system. Around that, you have to consider structure. Structure. The psoas. The infamous psoas muscle. I never stop talking about that because when the quads are tight, the psoas is anterior, it will crush the intestines. How are we going to talk about cure when your intestines are crushed? Even the enteric nervous system. Your body's ability, God-given, maternally given ability to live in the bliss state, to know its foods, to be more than willing to celebrate the joy of ingestion. If your gut's twisted, not because of stress, but because of structural stress, good luck digesting your food. And this is why, no matter how much, right, I talk about nutrition, I ask you to consider how much of you has to pay attention to structure. Now, what I urge you to do, or I should say right now, what I urge you not to do, is think that one piece of this. Think of all the pieces today. Bourdain enjoying his food, the enteric nervous system, everything from Natasha Campbell's GAPS diet, to Bryant Clement Hippocrates, to the paleo people, to macrobiotics, all the way to structural work, putting the psoas in the right place, all the way to honoring the fact that the probiotics, if thriving, if balanced, if present, will make your neurotransmitters, all the way to they won't be there thriving, balanced, and producing if the liver and the gut are pathogenically overwhelmed, thus the parasites. What I'm telling you not to do amidst a more diversified understanding is pick one piece of it and say, that's it. some lady the other day. Perfect example of what I'm talking about. And against perspective, against a real assembly of knowledge, turns to me and says, you know, my nutritionist did this parasite profile, and I'm convinced I have parasites, and that's what's been causing this. And that's what people do. And that's tragic. Because there's an example of a person that's never going to heal. Because they're playing the it game. And after she takes her antiparasitics, and after she goes relatively nowhere, she's going to find a new it. And that's what they're doing, and we're doing across the board in the natural healing arts. We're giving people pieces, and we're saying, try this piece. Just do it. We're not even talking about connect your being to the piece. We're not talking about what I am, which is to say the total picture, the full organic experience operating in unison. And presenting itself to your increasingly sophisticated sensory machine, meaning your ability to feel the net effect of shifting these variables. It's the way you have to look at it. That's very different than not doing any of that and simply trying something and deciding that, well, I really didn't feel a change. And so I'm going to just, it can't be that. And this is where we're losing. We're not losing because we're not being exposed to the pieces. You're being exposed to the pieces. You don't know how to blend the pieces. And then you don't understand that you have to cultivate receptivity to the pieces. That is the task of the client. That is the task of the doctor, of the therapist. And we're not seeing it that way. We are, unfortunately, for the most part, the actor that thinks acting is just reading a script and then expecting to hear the audience clap. That's not what acting is. You can't blindly go through the motions. Blindly through the motions. That was the Matrix, right? Blindly through the motions. You just get up and you're on autopilot. You're not listening. You're just functioning. This is the self-limiting issue behind all holistic therapy. And I offer to you today, whether you're a therapist or whether you're a client, that really the perspective you bring to all this stuff you do is the respect for the trial and error experience, where you're constantly being called to task with that one essential question. How does it make you feel once you stop looking at your symptom? Where are the benefits? How are the improvements? Once you start looking, stop looking at your symptom. All right, enough for today. I hope that helped. My classes are now closed out. We've got a large crew, and we're going to be putting lots of these concepts. See, the next jump is when you take these types of lectures and you actually bring them to people who are in active experience, because that's where you really learn it. That's why I put together the classes. You can't really learn this unless you bring your experience to this. It's like anything else. This is all the theory. It's the philosophy. It's the theology. It's the factual data. But to make it work, you need a workshop. Happy 4th of July to you, Independence Day. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.